Good morning, everyone. We're pleased to welcome to our studios and to Juneau, Father Andrew Belisario, the Bishop-elect of the Diocese of Juneau. May I wish you the warmest of greetings, sir.
Well, thank you, Pete. It's wonderful to be here today with you and all the people of Juneau and through Southeast Alaska.
So describe how you received word of your selection.
Well, I was driving home from the grocery store and couple blocks away, I received a call. I looked down and it said Washington, D.C. And I said, now who could that possibly be? So when I answered it, it was the Papal Nuncio. And he said to me, do you have a few moments? And I said, of course. And then I told him I was driving. He said, oh, you got to pull over. You have to pull over. So I did.
So did you have any indication that you were under consideration?
No, not really. No, because I'm a Vincentian priest. I belong to a religious community. And normally in the United States, Vincentians aren't normally picked to be bishops because we're missionaries. But I suppose because I was in Anchorage at the time, serving at the co-cathedral as the pastor, got to know Anchorage a little bit the past 2 years, and this is very much a missionary diocese, so that may have had something to do with it.
You know, when I read about your background and so forth, I was wondering what Rocco and Mildred Belisario would think of this appointment. What would they think?
Oh, I think they're ecstatic. They're both in heaven with God at the present time, but of course I believe very strongly that they know about this. They were very strong supporters of my vocation, very happy when I became a priest, and very supported me all their lives. And so I have no doubt they're very, very pleased and very happy.
Well, I'm sure they must have responded to Jesus and said, yeah, fine choice.
Oh, I would think so. I suspect my mother's up there right now having dinner with St. Peter and nudging him and saying, my son is a bishop, you know, so.
So they're... Could there have been some lobbying from that quarter?
I don't know. You know, this is a decision of Holy Father Francis, who, as you know, is just been wonderful, a wonderful Pope, a wonderful Holy Father, wonderful for the Catholic Church, for the whole world. And even to be considered by him is indeed a wonderful privilege.
Well, word gets around, as you well know. Mildred puts the bug in St. Peter's ear, and, you know, St. Peter talks to the Pope, and, you know,
there
it just goes
go.
From there. So this happened pretty fast, comparatively speaking. I think the time between Bishop Kinney and Bishop Werfel was like a year.
Yeah, I have no idea how these things work. Haven't paid too much attention to them over the years. But I believe the Papal Nuncio we have now is pretty good at moving things along and moving the process along. And it's always important, of course, to have bishops in place for dioceses to be shepherds of the people. So it's probably a good thing that there are shorter vacancies.
So why did you decide to enter the priesthood?
Oh, I decided when I was very, very young. I think my parents told me that even when I was, before I could even remember, I used to tell them that I wanted to be a priest. And I went to a seminary high school, St. Vincent Seminary in Montebello, California. Loved it. 13 years later, after going through college and theology graduate school, I was ordained in 1984.
So the root of it, why? You knew you wanted to be a priest. Why?
Oh, I would. For a couple reasons. I want to serve God, I want to serve the Lord, but I also want to serve the people of God and be very close to them, make the sacraments present, and also be a channel of unity and a channel of peace, justice for people, however I can be.
So when were you ordained, and when, maybe give us an idea of what you've done since then.
Okay. I was ordained on June 16th, 1984 in Los Angeles, California at St. Vincent's Church in Los Angeles, arguably the most beautiful church there. And since that time, I've had the privilege to serve in a seminary as a dean of students. And then for about 10 years, I was a parish priest, first as a parochial vicar, then an administrator. And then I was a pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Church in Huntington Beach, California. And then pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Patterson, California, which is in the Central Valley of California. Directed DePaul Evangelization Center in Montebello, and then In 2002, I was elected and chosen to be the provincial of my province of the Vincentians in the Western United States, where I served for 8 years. And concurrently at that time, I was also appointed to be the director of the Daughters of Charity, which is our sister community in Los Altos Hills, California. And so I did that for 15 years. And when I finished that in 2015, I was with them for 12 years. When I finished in 2015, then I came up here and became a missionary in Anchorage. We have Vincentians up in the Archdiocese of Anchorage staffing the co-cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe and doing outreach to Hispanic folks, to the Hispanic population, the Hispanic community in Fairbanks and Kodiak in particular, as well as in Anchorage.
So how has all of that past experience prepared you for your new role?
Well, you know, I'm really working on that because I hadn't expected this. It's only been a very short period of time. What has really humbled me, first of all, is being chosen by Pope Francis. Secondly, receiving the support I have from our Archbishop Achen in Anchorage, the other bishops of Alaska. So many people have said, oh, this is such a wonderful choice. And so that does make me reflect on what they see in me that I may not even see in myself, especially around, I have pastoral skills and administrative skills, but ultimately I love the people of God, I love all people, and just to have the opportunity to serve, I'm hoping that the gifts I have are adequate.
Well, the love part would be the main thing, right?
I'm sorry?
The love part would be the main thing.
Absolutely, and you know, the whole thing about love, people know when you love them and when you don't. It's not something you can fake. And so I hope I'm very genuine in my love for people.
I understand you'll assume the post on October 10th.
Yes.
Explain how that installation ceremony will proceed. What takes place during one of those?
Well, you know, I haven't looked at that too closely either, but it's since I'm a priest right now, even though I have a title of bishop-elect, I'm still a priest. And so I need to be ordained a bishop. And in the Catholic Church, there are three levels of ordination. There's the diaconate, the priesthood, and then the episcopacy, which are the bishops.
I see.
And so I've been ordained twice before, once as a deacon, once as a priest, and now I need to be ordained as a bishop. Also at that ceremony, what will take place is I will be installed as the bishop here of the Diocese of Juneau, which, as you know, is very large in area and with a lot of communities throughout southeastern Alaska. And at that point, the papal nuncio with the other bishops will install me in the name of Holy Father Francis as the bishop.
Do we have a time or location on that yet? I imagine it'll be at St. Paul.
We are still looking at that as of today. We have the date, but we don't have the time.
We take a break, but I wanted to tell you one war story. You will not believe this. I had every one of Alaska's three bishops in the Action Line studio when the white smoke went up.
Really?
Wow. But and I'm going, what dumb luck this is.
Yeah.
Right? Except between the white smoke going up and the official announcement, 40 minutes had passed. So I didn't have him here when the announcement came up. So I remember that very fondly.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you.
All right, so let's come back after the break and ask what you hope to accomplish as Bishop of the Diocese of Juneau. Stay tuned. We are back with Father Andrew Belisario, the Bishop-elect of the Diocese of Juneau, who will be installed during a ceremony on October 10th. You've never been to Juneau before until the other day.
That is correct.
So let me see if I can phrase this question. What do you know now that you didn't know before you got here?
Okay,
you probably knew it rained.
Yes, I knew it rained, and I also knew before I came because of my experience in Anchorage and knowing people from Fairbanks as well that the people here were going to be wonderful, and I was not at all disappointed. People are very welcoming and loving and caring in all of Alaska and certainly here as well. What I've learned since I've been here is that this is such a beautiful place. It's like a little slice of paradise from what I've seen so far. It's spread out farther than I thought it would be. It's like there's these two sections of Juneau, or at least maybe there are more. About the island there, Douglas Island and the bridge and all of that sort of thing. I didn't know any of this. And the cruise ships, there's like five of them docked out there the past couple days, and so I wasn't aware of that either.
Well, make sure you stop down at City Hall to get your Douglas passport. You'll need that to cross the bridge.
Oh, you will? Okay. Yeah. Well, I live over there when I'm here, so...
Saying. So let me see. It's the smallest diocese in terms of population, but the largest in landmass. Is that correct?
It's not. I don't think it's the largest in landmass. I think that goes to Fairbanks.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
I think so. And Anchorage is bigger landmass, but it is the smallest in terms of people. And, you know, some folks have mentioned that to me. They say, oh, you're going to the smallest diocese. And all I say is where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to be here with the people of the Diocese of Juneau.
Now, during your press conference this week, you mentioned homelessness and the need to do something about that. And Juneau has such a problem. What do you hope to do about that as Bishop of the Diocese?
Well, you know, that is an issue that encompasses many components, of course, and that we're talking poverty, and we're talking homelessness, we're talking people who are really left out of society, et cetera, not just here in the city of Juneau, but throughout Southeast and many, many other places. There are things that are being done with the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, et cetera, and Catholic services.
Community
services, yeah, that are here, and I'm sure other agencies as well, and I haven't seen that much. But the first thing I want to do, and as I said in my press conference, is I have so much to learn here. I need to really listen to everybody and to find out exactly what is taking place. And I hadn't really realized before I came here that homelessness was such a big difficulty, and that people do suffer so much from poverty. Sometimes we're blind to that, you know, in our lives. We just don't notice it. We don't see it. And unless we actively say, I'm going to look for it, do we really start to do something about it? So as I said at the news conference, this is something we need to discover together, but I am committed not only to that, but also trying to be a force of uniting people together and however I can serve in that capacity.
What other things might be on your to-do list?
Well,
still getting the lay of the land.
I'm still getting the lay of the land here. The practical things I'm actually thinking about, as I'm still a pastor over in Anchorage, I need to transition there. I need to transition with the priests that are doing the ministry to the Hispanic community. I need to get a replacement for myself, et cetera. And so those are some concerns that are very, very pressing at this time.
What's been the reaction from your flock there?
Well, you know, that's good. It was, they were told, Archbishop Aitchen told those who were at Tuesday morning mass, and I heard they were surprised and hopefully supportive. But I haven't been back there, obviously, and I haven't heard much. So this weekend, I think I'll find out the answer to that question.
I can tell from meeting you just briefly that they're going to miss you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I believe me, the people there have been just absolutely wonderful, just absolutely wonderful.
You talked about the need for additional priests in the diocese during your press conference. What advice might you give to anyone in our audience who might be interested in becoming a priest?
Well,
and I have no idea how.
Yeah, right.
How you do that?
Well, the very first thing anyone should do if they have an idea of that is talk to their parish priest throughout the diocese, or come talk to me. You know, call me up at the chancery office. Of course, I won't be there October 10th, but to call me up, I'd love to talk to anyone who has any interest in the priesthood, religious life, sisters, deacons. A vocation is a call from God. You know, it's not a career. In many ways, it's not something that we choose. It's something we hear on the inside of ourselves that calls us to a deeper service and love of God and love of His people. So I'm always open for anyone who would like to talk about that. But talk to your parish priest.
Well, refresh my memory. There's a priest in the diocese now that used to be a police officer.
You know, I've heard that, but I do not have a lot of information yet.
Steve Gallagher.
Okay,
I went out to St. Paul's, and Man, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
And he has all these life experiences to share. And,
absolutely. Well, for a lot of people...
That knocked my socks off.
Yeah, well, a lot of people today, too, it's later in life, they decide to listen to the call a little bit more closely, and they're called at a little bit later age than maybe we were at during my time.
So here's another challenge. Well, let me ask you one follow-up question on the priest. I guess given the church's problems in recent years, there's more scrutiny, right?
More scrutiny
to become a priest nowadays?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, standards need to be met, and there's a lot of vetting. There's a big, long process that takes place, and it took place at my time, too. But I think we've learned things since then, obviously, mm-hmm. that's helped us to focus on other aspects of formation that maybe we weren't paying as close attention to before.
Here's another challenge for you that many people here and across the country and world have turned to drugs.
Yes.
For whatever reason. And I know my favorite Bible verse is Galatians 5:22-23 about the fruits of the Spirit, where it talks about self-control
right.
as one of the fruits. But I guess you just can't tell people, you got to exhibit self-control.
Well, that's from what I understand, and I'm not a professional or an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but from what I understand, these are issues of addiction where people maybe start doing something out of curiosity or mm-hmm. for other reasons, depression, etc., and they become addicted to something that unfortunately is poison to them, that actually destroys their lives, destroys their relationships, destroys their families. And it really is an epidemic in our country and in many parts of the world. And needs attention, and I think a lot of people are giving it attention, but it leads a lot more. I've buried many of folk who have died, many a person who has died because of drug addiction.
And I would imagine you would contend that they might want to turn an ear to God, to the heavens.
Yes. Well, and most people who start really dealing with addictions through 12-step programs and all look for a higher power, somebody to save them, and we certainly believe Jesus Christ is the one who can do that and does that.
During your press conference, you had a special message for our Alaska Native population. What would you like to say to them here at this time?
Well, what I'd like to say to our Native population is I had the privilege at St. Anthony Church in Anchorage. I was stationed there for 6 months, and they have a vibrant Native Alaskan population, and I got to know them very well, and I love them dearly. And I want to learn more about the Native Alaskans, let them know they're very welcome in our church and very welcome by me. They will always find a welcome and warm reception.
And I enjoyed your message for members of your flock who speak Spanish.
Yes, very, very much. I know there's not as many here, or at least that's what I'm told. I will personally look into that a little bit more myself. But up in Anchorage, there's a good-sized population. And any immigrant population, being the third generation of immigrants, we have to have that soft spot in our heart for immigrants, the homeless, and all other folks. So I'll be reaching out.
Both of our paternal grandfathers came through Ellis Island.
That's correct. So and my grandmother, too.
Yeah.
So
my grandmother as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Father, this station airs in Hoonah and Angoon. We translate to Cake and Haines and Skagway. We have stations in Ketchikan and Sitka. Use it as you depart your message.
Absolutely. To all those people living outside of the Juneau area, I look forward very, very much and very soon to introducing myself to you personally, to meeting you personally, to shaking your hands, to looking you in the eye, and to being your brother. I really hope that anyone out there who has experienced pain or suffering by anything that someone representing the church has done, that you'll reconsider coming back. And if anybody needs to talk to me, I'm going to have an open door policy. So I'd very much like to talk to any of you.
Well, as you say in your business, God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much, and God bless you too, Pete.
That's our program for today. Area Management Biologist Stephanie Schell of the State Fish and Game Department will be here tomorrow to update us on bear activity, so be sure to tune in for that. In the meantime, this is the only July 13th, 2017 you'll ever have, so make it a good one.